Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge our spiritual growth. Today, we are discussing the armor of prayer.
Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And so what God wants to do for His people, He then moves them to ask Him to do. So we need to be in tune through listening through the Word, because He's going to not put that privilege of responsibility on you if you're not listening to Him.
This is Sharon Hoskins. Please join Janie Ratzliff and I in this challenging conversation. Well, Janie, today we are looking at the armor of prayer. We have been through being strong in the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God, and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but that we need to be girded with the belt of truth and to have the breastplate of righteousness on and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We've also talked about the shield of faith and putting on the helmet of salvation and grabbing that sword of the Spirit and knowing that it's the Word of God. And now we are down to verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, and it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints."
Prayer is one of the greatest battlefield tools after putting on the armor that we can have.
We have really talked about a lot, and I am excited about this prayer section, because really it is the activation. It's the glue that kind of holds everything together in our armor. And as we can't have one piece on without the other.
That's correct.
And you said that a few weeks ago, and it's true. We cannot have one on without the other.
In regards to the prayer, there was a gentleman who must have been 100, 150 years ago, Sharon, that put out a little pamphlet, and he talked about the seven wonders of prayer. And I just want to put those in on our conversation today. I'd like to just go over those real quickly, and then let's just make some practical applications, because, you know, to have a lot of head knowledge and not knowing how to live it out is devastating.
Yes.
And vanity, and a tool for the enemy to come in and rob you of the other pieces of,
right,
of the armor that you have. And by the way, just a thought that occurred to me when you were reading that passage, and it says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We need to remember that we're not to be wrestling against our own selves.
Oh, that's good.
You know, we always think,
really talked about that.
You know, we always think about having conflicts or problems with other people, and the need for supplication for all the saints, because we need to be praying for others. But we also need to know that prayers need to go up on our behalf, so we don't wrestle within our own selves.
Right.
I found myself this morning in prayer wanting to jump over to some places that I didn't like about how I was responding. And I just had to go back and say, wait a minute, you're listening to a thought that is directing you in your prayer to the wrong focus. Stop it. And so I acknowledged it, stopped it, and got onto the smooth road of where I belong. So let's remember that we are included in that flesh and blood.
And I think that's why we're told over and over and over again to renew our mind. And I think that's part of the renewing process. We have to continually renew our mind and know that when those thoughts come in, that we have to take those captive.
Well, you remember when we were talking about emotions, we said that your moods didn't go through praying. They went through kicking.
Yes.
You've got to take a hold to that responsibility.
And having on the armor allows us to be able to fight. And,
yes.
You know, you're saying kicking. I think about fighting when you kick your own emotions, when you kick your own thoughts out. That's a battle. That's a fight.
And
you need your armor on to do that.
And you've got pretty much of a an aggressive thrust through your whole body to accomplish that fight, because fighting is not sitting back and filing your nails. It's got some sympathetic nervous system responses. But let me just go through and list these seven issues about prayer. They were very meaningful to me as I recounted them, and that is that there is no promise that's too hard for God to fulfill. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. There's no place, town, or city that is too difficult for the Lord to move and revive. There's no heart too hard for the Lord to break. And in our culture today, that is especially encouraging. There's no season of time too hard for the Lord to repeat. And we go back over to the Psalms and see an established history that we can learn from in the fact of how God works. And then there's really no prophecy too hard for the Lord to fulfill. But we find that whatever He has going to fulfill in prophecy, He's already given us that prophecy in a promise.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
right.
So we've made the circle.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So let's start off with just there's no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. And we go back to a very familiar passage in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. And he just says that as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then verses 5 through 7 give us the activation of conditions. You know, you could read the first part of that and you'd think, okay, as long as I know the precious promises, then I can be a partaker. Well, if you're a partaker, that requires action. So what I'm bringing us down to is you just can't curl up in the security of your home and say prayers and believe that is sufficient. Now, some people are in an invalid state and they can't get out and go into an active ministry, but the Lord will lay on their hearts particular ways to be an intercessor. Mm-hmm. So let me point out a point about intercession as it differs from supplication or prayers. When you are given the burden of interceding for someone particular, you actually take on a part of that problem or challenge within your own self.
Okay.
It will affect your mind. It'll affect your body. Sometimes you may suffer in your own body as you pray because you've taken on more than just the knowledge of a problem.
Okay.
And you said something the other day that I thought was just awesome. And I can't remember if we did it on air or if we just did it
when we were talking in
some casual conversation, not challenging conversation. But you just so sweetly says, you know, Janie, whenever I hear of a need, I pray about that need. I stop and I pray about it. But you said, I realize I've never committed my heart, or I've never connected with my heart in a lot of those prayers. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, and a lot of it is just having a conversation with that person to let them know that I am praying for them. I think to pray for them, but I don't connect with them in a conversation like, is there anything I can do for you? You know, having compassion and really understanding where they are. So there's been some things going on in my life that has helped me realize that I haven't done that because people have been doing that for me.
Okay.
So when I get those calls and say, I'm praying for you, is there anything I can do? And how that has blessed me, it it shone a light on where I was lacking for others.
I know that most ladies are huggers, but not all. Mm-hmm. And I have never been one that would just spontaneously be a hugger. But I've had some ladies teach me. Mm-hmm. And I had one lady decades ago that when she would come and hug me, she wouldn't let go. And at first, I kept thinking, okay, we've hugged. Now, let's break and have conversation. But she wouldn't say a word. She would just hug and hug. And finally, I realized she was getting her tank filled because she had some security in how we were walking together. But she also taught me to relax in the hug.
Yeah.
And as long as there was tension, then there was almost like there was a preoccupation in my spirit to, well, let's get on with it. Mm-hmm. So I have learned sometimes that if I feel a little resistance, I will just say, I'm going to hug you until you feel my love.
Yeah.
And I know they'll feel the love when I can sense their body just relaxing and yielding. And that's also a good lesson because we do the same thing with the Lord. We kind of have a resistance in how he's trying to hug us according to his ways, and we resist. And then the hug gets tighter and tighter, and eventually we relax in his arms the way a lamb should with a good shepherd. So that may not be for everybody today, but hugs are more than just a physical contact saying, hi, glad to see you.
And I think that with all of us, we can take those situations and instead of looking at ourselves negatively, well, I don't ever do that, but being able to take those things that God shows us and he shines a light on through other people that we can learn to connect. We can learn to move into that area that is more us, the way we would do it, the way the Lord wants us to do it, that fits our personality, because we're not all the same and we don't all have the same gifts. But when it comes to prayer, prayer is for everyone, and it should be a way to not only connect with God in different ways, because we've talked about different aspects of prayer. There's warfare prayer, there's supplication prayer. And so understanding that there's different types of prayer, we stay so elementary. You know, we've been on this level of elementary prayers that we're almost afraid to pray in front of people and in groups because we're afraid that our prayers won't be good enough because we've stayed so elementary. And not that I'm trying to say that prayer is complicated, because I don't believe prayer is complicated. But we begin with these recited prayers as children. We have these little poem prayers. And I don't know that we get much farther than that as we grow older.
No, because we stay within where we have been trained, and that is to seek comfort. I had a beautiful man of God who's now with the Lord. When I had him teach me some things, he had been an intercessor.
Okay.
And he told me that it had cost him a good portion of his health.
Oh, wow.
Because he took on that burden.
Uh-huh.
He took it on within his body, within his soul, within his spirit and his mind.
Uh-huh.
So it was with him 24 hours a day. And the prayers would just go up constantly, not obsessively, but, you know, continually. And that is really a more intense form of a prayer of supplication where we are to be praying about the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
But intercession does take us a lot deeper. And then there's prayers we just talk to the Lord. We just have enjoyable conversation.
And I think that's where most of us stay.
And it's and yes, because really there is, we don't know the word, or we are not wholeheartedly seeking him. He says, when you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. You'll find what my mind is. And then, Sharon and Janie, I can trust you with the deeper prayer of intercession. But if you're going to be glib about, you know, Lord, thank you for being here and bless us for no more, that's not going to go a long ways.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we need to be willing to take up on that burden, but our life also has to have that armor on, because we are going to get singled out and focused by the enemy when we go and be a part of the Lord's plan in delivering people from captivity. Now, we know it's always the power of God, and through the Holy Spirit, we know we do nothing in and of ourselves, but we are a part of the warfare team that works together with the triune God. So it does become a ministry in and of itself. And I think probably it would be good to just bring out the verse that we're talking about right now. And that's in 1 Timothy 2:1. Paul is exhorting Timothy, first of all, and he has first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and for kings and all who are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So we know when we engage in this type of ministry that we've got the approval of God. And then Romans, I believe it is 8:26, says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so what God wants to do for His people, He then moves them to ask Him to do. So we need to be in tune through listening through the Word, because He's going to not put that privilege of responsibility on you if you're not listening to Him.
Right.
So that He can tell you this is what He wants you to do, and He lays that burden on you. With some people with health issues, when you find out about them, you have a call to action that you may not have had before for them.
Right.
And that's because the Lord is equipping you with the burden to pray for them. What do you think are some of the worst problems that people face that causes them to just feel like prayer is not sufficient?
That prayer's not sufficient.
Yeah. In other words, why? In other words, this is so big. It's not going to do any good to pray. God's, you know, if God was really God, He wouldn't have allowed this in the first place. Yeah.
Well, I think probably a traumatic disease or a death in the family.
Or a sudden loss, whether it's relationship, whether it's health, whether it's financial. And yet those are the times that we should go running to Him, first of all, but people don't have that comfort. And so part of our joy in broadcasting is to help people see the joy. I know one prayer that was prayed one time, and it was by a grown man, and he didn't know how to pray, he said. So we just said, tell him what's on your heart. And he just said, Jesus, it's Jim. And I'm hurting so bad, I don't even know how to talk to you. That was a prayer that moved the heart of God. It was in sincerity. It was in honesty. It was single focused. He admitted his helplessness and his hopelessness and turned to Him. But Sharon, there are prayers that we pray that the Lord says, I'm sorry, I'm not probably going to be able to answer. So let's go over those just a little bit. You may have some thoughts, and I may have some thoughts on why prayers are not answered.
Okay.
I go out and do something in my own strength and really mess it up. And I know that I've really done God's will my way.
Mm-hmm.
That's called what I call a blunder.
Okay.
Maybe we should call it overt sin, but at least I'm going to credit it with a blunder. And the Lord doesn't promise to cover up our blunders. Now, He does promise forgiveness for those blunders. But if I have really messed up a conversation with somebody and offended them, then I'm forgiven under the blood and via the cross. But I really am the one that's got to go make reconciliation with that person, because my words were not given in wisdom. And sometimes the words are given in wisdom, but they still cause offense because there's a differing personalities and things like that. And so we still need to go back to Romans 14 and see if we are further along in the Lord than that other person, then we definitely have the responsibility to go get that offense corrected. And right. God is not necessarily going to wipe away all of that. We are responsible to make that right. Sometimes there's unethical conduct. And without getting into great detail, most of us know the story of David and Bathsheba, and that was some definitely unethical conduct.
Right.
And he prayed about it, and he sought the Lord for forgiveness, which the Lord gave him. But we know that he did not get his prayers answered about that child that was conceived with that sin. Mm-hmm. So he still had to suffer the consequences. God didn't answer that prayer. Have you got a couple of ideas?
Maybe selfish enjoyment.
Oh, I think that's a strong one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, make my path smooth. Yeah. Take away all the difficulties. Mm-hmm. Let somebody else fight that battle.
Yeah.
You know.
Sit on the sidelines.
Yes, yeah. And be a cheerleader.
Cheerleader. I told you. That's where I want to sit, Janie. It's not really, but.
No, I know your heart. I know. But flesh wants comfort.
Sure.
And so we'll give you hoorahs and raves, but don't make us get bloody over the situation.
Right.
And one thing that really requires discernment is that when, let's say you want to start a ministry and you listen to counsel and the counsel is good counsel, but you choose not to take heed to it. There is a chapter in the Bible, and I can't pull it up right now. I think it's Acts 16, but read the whole book of Acts, and you'll get it, because I can't pull it up right now, where there was godly counsel, and it says that the Spirit guided this godly counsel in counseling Paul on when to go to Rome and when not to go to Rome. And Paul just said, hey, listen, I hear what you guys are saying, but I am ready to go to Rome no matter what. So they yielded to him, but the scriptures definitely show that he went against their godly counsel. And we know that he wound up in the jail. Now, he was still used in the jail, but we're not sure how much Paul had some unneedless suffering because he did it his way in the name of God. But it was still his way. So God doesn't always answer prayers
and really, Janie, that can go for anything. It doesn't really have to be just ministry, but I think that could be for anything. That could be for a marriage. A friendship. That could be for starting a business or taking a job. I mean, we should seek godly counsel for things that we're not sure of always. And I think that really goes with all of that. You know, sometimes we reap the consequences of not listening to godly counsel because we dove right into a marriage that we shouldn't have, or a business that we should have, or a job that we shouldn't have. And so there's suffering that we deal with because we wouldn't listen to godly counsel.
And that becomes a lot more of your daily life, because I know in the transitions that have been made going from Proverbs 31:30 to Sharon Hearts and wanting to expand the ministry in under Sharon Hearts, there have been all kinds of unknown decisions that we had no idea that right. would come up that we would have to make. And that really does require prayer, because if we're not in his will, then it's vanity. It's not going to have a lasting value. But we know that that people learn by hearing just the grassroots of other people. Mm-hmm. I love good, solid preaching and teaching, but it also builds my heart and gives me answers when I listen to someone who has walked through the fire or somebody who is walking in the fire right now, and they are willing to be vulnerable to the heat of the fire.
Yeah.
We've kind of touched on the fact that there's nothing too hard that prayer can't handle.
That's right. Well, and we are out of time, Janie.
I'm telling you what, we're going to have to check about going to an hour. That's all there is to it. Either that or I'm going to have to learn not to be a chatty Kathy.
Well, I just need you to close us in prayer with a really quick prayer. Could you do that, Janie?
Lord, we are yours and you are ours. You're the shepherd and we are the sheep. And we thank you for our position that we have in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today for the Sharon Hartz Woman to Woman Show. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, you can go to SharonHartz.org. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.